This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. Welcome to night number 4 of Ramadan 2020, Ramadan 1441. And I pray, alhamdulillah, that the fasting is going well and Allah accept from all of us. Ameen. We continue with our tafsir of Surah Fatiha. We mentioned that this is the greatest surah of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says in a hadith which is reported in Sahih Muslim, Allah subhanahu Allah Ta'ala mentions that he has divided Surah Fatiha in half. And so we know that there are 7 ayat, 3 of them are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 3 of them are for us. And in the middle, we have a middle ayah which links the two. And we continue with that middle ayah where we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So we began the first 3 ayat is about praising Allah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful, the most kind. Maliki Yawm al-Din, the king, the owner, the sovereign of the day of judgment. When we say these 3 ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to us by saying, my servant has praised me, has magnified me, has exalted me. And then when we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone, Ya Allah, we worship, and you alone do we seek assistance. Allah says, this is between me and my servant, and now I shall give him whatever she requests. Now, this is where we begin to talk, inshallah, this evening. This ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, we said this is the link between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our link with Him is in that of worship and servitude. Ibadah, the concept of ibadah, the word abidah is to be in servitude. It is an abd, is a slave. And so we are servants and slaves, and we humble ourselves in humility to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are in need, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of any need. That we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our own sake and our own benefit, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of us. This is our concept of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the purpose of life, the reason why Allah has created us, Allah mentions in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that the purpose of our life here is that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. We also see from this verse, as we said yesterday, the fact that we say, Allah, you we worship and you we seek assistance, rather than saying we worship you, we bring Allah first. Why? Because we mention Allah first. Allah is more important than our worship. Also, it means exclusivity, that you alone we worship. And this is the hallmark and the theme of the religion of Islam, that in other religions, the concept of a creator is there. They, you know, most religions, basically all religions, they believe in one supreme creator, the Hindu faith, the Christian faith. But if you look at that which they worship, it is very seldom do they worship that creator. The Hindus, for example, they believe in one all-powerful creator, yet they worship many, many different deities, statues and idols and these things. The Christians as well, they believe in the Father, the creator, but yet they worship Jesus Christ. Peace and blessings be upon him. Our concept of Islam and Islam's message is that the same one who created you, the Lord of the worlds, that same one that we began, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, he alone is the one that we worship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it that the purpose of our life is to worship him. Now worship, we need to understand, is not just the rituals we do in the masjid. If that was the case, then we would stop worshipping Allah now that the masjids are closed. Rather, worship is a lifelong journey. Everything we do is ibadah. There are certain types of worship which are ritualistic. Like your 5 daily salahs, like hajj, there are rituals, there are rules. You have to follow the rules, you have to follow the sunnah. You can't break, you can't decide how you want to do the ritual. The format is given. And these are the compulsory kind of worships. Then you have non-ritualistic worships. And this is in a very famous narration, a famous hadith, where Jibreel visited the Prophet ﷺ, and Jibreel asked the Nabi ﷺ, what is Islam? And the Prophet ﷺ says, Islam is basically to fulfill the 5 pillars, to fast and to make salah, to say the kalima, to give zakah and go on hajj. These are the 5 pillars. But then Jibreel also asked a very important question. He asked the Nabi ﷺ, what is ihsan? What is perfection? What is the ideal way of life? If the pillars of Islam, one way to think of it, the pillars of Islam are the basics, the default. You have to do this. This is the foundation to become a Muslim. This is sort of entry level things. As for what you aspire to, what is perfection, what the journey is, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly, to always be in the state of worship. Now one may say, how can I constantly be in the state of worship with Allah? Does it mean I need to be on the musalla 24/7? No, rather worshiping Allah is
doing the things, living your life in a manner which pleases Allah. That Islam, as we said, is not a religion. It is a deen. It is a way of life. It is a path that you follow. The way you treat your wife, the way you treat your husband, this is worship. This pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are good to each other. The kind of neighbor you are is part of your deen. The kind of parents you are, children you are, how you treat your environment, how you use the toilet. We know all of this. There is guidance from Islam. And the way we do it is for the sake of Allah. And one way, and we spoke about this when we mentioned the basmala, whenever you do a mundane task, any of the ordinary tasks during the day, like going to the shop, buying groceries, you know, going to bed at night, eating. These things are just normal things that we do as human beings. We can make those elements of our life worship, because we have to have a sincere intention. Why am I doing this? I'm doing this for the sake of Allah. Ya Allah, you have blessed me with a family, and therefore I go to work so that I may support them. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says it is of the best forms of charity is that we feed our family. That I sleep in the evenings. Why? You gave me this body as an amana. So part of it is to rest and for it to recover. So it becomes an act of worship. But you know, subhanAllah, as we know, if those of us who are able to have an 8-hour sleep, and I know who very seldom people get this luxury, but if you sleep 8 hours a day as is required, then really 1/3 of the day is sleep. Meaning 1/3 of your life you are spent sleeping. 1/3 of your whole, you know, 60 years, 20 years of your life, if you live for 60 years, would be fast asleep. And you can make that sleep an act of worship just by having a sincere intention before you sleep. Ya Allah, I do it for your sake. You begin with a basmala. If there's a dua to be recited before the activity, you recite that dua. Now this entire 8 hours of sleep is an act of worship. And so this verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ Ya Allah, the only reason I am here is to worship you. And every decision, everything I do in my life is to please you. This is really the concept of our existence. The reason why we are here, the purpose of Islam. And if we look more deeply into the ayah, we would notice that, subhanAllah, we've recited this so many million times in our lives, but have we even taken note that the ayah had changed from a third person to a direct conversation with Allah? So in the previous ayahs, we were speaking about Allah in the third person. Allah is the Lord of the Alameen, the most merciful. He is the Lord of the Day of Judgment, Master of the Day of Judgment. In the fourth ayah, we say, Iyaka, you we worship, and you alone do we turn for assistance. Why did the tense change? The reason being is it is to show that we are in a direct communion. We are in a direct conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if though we are standing before Allah, and now we are praising Him, and we are pleading to Him. We are begging to Him. We are acknowledging our servitude to Him. And also interestingly, we see that we went from a singular to a plural, meaning we, Ya Allah. Even though you might be standing alone, performing salah all by yourself, you're not in a jama'ah, yet you still say, we, Ya Allah, we worship you alone, and we put our dependency on you alone. So why plural? Because it shows that all of creation, this is not just the humans, an infinite number of creations, yet there is only one Allah. There are many, many of us, but there is only one Allah. Also, it shows that when we make dua, we don't only make dua for ourselves. We make dua for our family, our parents, our kids, our community, our entire ummah, that it is maybe that my dua is not enough, and your dua is not enough. But collectively, the billions of Muslims making dua together, this might be the thing which collectively gets us the assistance of Allah. So after we say this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now responds, this is for my servant, and my servant shall have what he asked for. So now Allah is pleased with the way in which we invoked Him. And so now Allah says, now ask, what do you want that I may give you? And so the next verse, we ask Allah only for one thing, and this is the most important thing. We say, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ O Allah, guide us upon the Sirat al-Mustaqim, the straight path. Now let's break this ayah down a little bit further. Ihdina, meaning, O Allah, guide us. We're asking Him for guidance. And what is guidance? And really the analogy that is given in this ayah is someone coming to a city and not knowing where to go. He's lost. And so he's looking for directions. He's looking for someone to show him the way. Now hidayah, we can do a whole series on hidayah on its own, guidance. But some elements to it. Guidance is us searching for it, using the tools Allah has given us, our intellect, studying the world around us, looking and analyzing and constantly thinking. And many of us, we fail. We don't do the research we're supposed to do. So hidayah is about, you're like the someone that is lost. You need to make the effort and search for the truth. But of course, you will not find the truth if you don't have a guide, if you don't come across someone to show you the way. So we're saying, Ya Allah, guide us
that we live a life which will constantly be in your worship. Guide us so that we make the right decisions, the right choices. Every single day, we make hundreds of choices. We don't know what's the right thing, the wrong thing to do. Any situation, you know, should I respond? If someone says something negative to me, how do I respond? Should I be angry? Should I not be angry? How do I make the right choices and the right, how do I live the right life? This is from guidance of Allah. And if Allah does not guide us, then we will be lost. That is why, very beautifully, another word attached to guidance, hidayah, the word for present in Arabic is hadiyah. Hidayah, hadiyah, you can hear it sounds very similar. A present, a gift is an hadiyah, meaning it's something that you get from someone else. And therefore, guidance, hidayah, only comes from Allah. And this is really, if you think about it, it is the best blessing you can ever have. Someone who has money, and he has power, and he has all the privileges of this world, but he's not guided to be a good human being, then what was the purpose of his life? When he dies, it has absolutely no purpose. His life was a failure. Rather, we think of this and we know that this life is an exam. It is a test. And while we are in the middle of the test, the only one who can show us the answers is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're asking Him, Ya Allah, guide us in this life to always make the right choice. And so we say, Ya Allah, guide us, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. We are very specific what guidance we want. We want to be guided to be upon the sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat is, in the olden days, in every city you would have a sirat. It is the main highway. It is the big road of the city. The sirat is not a small road. It is the big road. It is the road that is very clear. It is usually very flat. It is level. It has room for a lot of people. It is straightforward. So we're saying, Ya Allah, guide us to this path which is clear, which is straight, which is right, which is always on, which will keep you in the right direction. It is the sirat al-mustaqim. Mustaqim, like when we talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa aqimu salah, same kind of verb. Allah doesn't say perform salah, He says wa aqimu salah, establish salah perfectly. Perfect your salah. Mustaqim has a connotation of someone standing straight, meaning someone that is standing in the perfect posture. Once again, the sirat implies a straight path, yet Allah says it is the straight sirat. Allah adds the emphasis of it. This path will not deviate. Everything in life, you know, when we are, you know, sometimes we are in a debate, sometimes we go through life and our principles, our morals shift, we bend, we fluctuate. As the tide goes, we give into pressure, peer pressure, work pressure, family pressure, then our morals go, and then very quickly we go into the lesser self, we lose ourselves. This sirat, if you are upon it, you will never ever be lost. Every decision in your life will be correct. So we're saying, Ya Allah, guide us to this straight, clear path that is perfect, and whoever is upon that path will always be in the right. This is your compass. It is like asking Allah, give me that compass that will always show me what is the right thing to do. What better thing than that? Then in every decision of your life, you know what the right thing to do is. And also, once again, we are not making dua, Ya Allah, guide me. We say, Ihdina, guide all of us upon that straight path, because none of us wants to be on the path alone. We want to enter Jannah together. One may ask, I'm a Muslim already. Why am I making dua, Ya Allah, guide me on this path? Am I not on the path already? Yes, indeed. If you, alhamdulillah, we are on that path. But as that path moves, it's easy for us to deviate and take off. There are many side roads pulling us off that path. And so we constantly ask Allah 17 times a day, at least keep us on this straight path. We then mention further, we give a further detail about this path. We say, Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladina an'amta alayhim. Ya Allah, let us walk this path, guide us to this path as those who you have favored. Guide us to the path of those who you have favored. Meaning this path is not, we are not the first people to walk this path. There are people who you have favored that have been on this path. So who are the ones that Allah has favored? There's an ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Nisa. It's ayah which we usually recite, and it's not the sunnah to recite it when someone passed away, but usually it is recited, you'd find it at the janazah. We say, مِنَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Oh Allah, let us be in the companionship, in the company. Let us be amongst those who you have favored, those who you have blessed. Who are they? The anbiya, the nabis. Obviously the anbiya, the prophets of Allah, all of them, they are on guidance. وَالصِّدِّيقِ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ. The, like Abu Bakr and Maryam alayhi salam, Allah calls the mother of Jesus Christ. She was a siddiqa, she was a siddiq. A siddiq is someone who has reached the highest level of iman. The highest level of iman after that of the anbiya, where they are true in everything they do. That they believe so completely that the iman does not really shake. They never waver. So this is the second category after the anbiya. وَالشُّهَدَاءِ. Those who die martyrs for the sake of Allah. They have sacrificed everything, even their lives for Allah. And then the fourth category, وَشُهَدَى وَصَالِحِينَ, and those who are good people. And Allah says, what an excellent company they are. So we're saying, Ya Allah, let us be on this straight, guide us to walk and be on the straight path as those, let us follow in the footsteps basically of those who have come before us and that you have favored and are basically in Jannah. And we then go further and say, غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, but let us not be of those who incur anger. Those who have anger upon them. Now it doesn't say who is angry with them. It doesn't say those who Allah is angry with. Rather it says those who incur anger and those who are astray, those who are lost. So who are these two groups of people? So in this ayah we see three groups of people. The ones who Allah has favored. We mentioned them. They are the Nabiyeen, Siddiqeen and Shuhada Salihin. They are the ones Allah has favored. Then the other two categories, those who incur anger, who are they? In a hadith, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, they are amongst them, are those who did not follow Nabi Musa correctly. Those who did not follow what Nabi Musa had brought to them. Right? So Allah had given them knowledge. And this could be any person who has knowledge, who has guidance, who knows what the right thing is, but he deliberately goes against it. Like Shaitan. Shaitan, Iblis, his sin is one, not of not knowing, not of making a mistake. Rather, he knows, but it is arrogance that refuses him to accept. So he willfully disobeys. So Allah says, such people, they incur the anger. And what is implied here is the anger of Allah. Allah is deeply displeased with them. And this is not just a group of people external. It is all of us are susceptible of being in this category. When we know what the right thing is, Allah has shown you. So you make dua, Ya Allah, guide me to make the right choice. Allah shows you what the right thing is, and still we go against that. Then we are liable for incurring the anger of Allah. And then the last category, غَيْرِ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَضَّالِينَ, and it does not be of the dhalin, those who have gone astray, or those who are lost, those who don't know the path, those who have not been given guidance. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam responds here, he said, it is of those who did not follow the teachings of Nabi Isa Alayhi Wasallam. So they make up as they go along, that they did not receive and did not act on knowledge. It is someone that acts without knowledge. He basically makes up his life and he decides whatever feels good for him today. He's sincere, he wants to do the right thing, but he only follows what is from himself and does not act upon knowledge. And therefore, like again, someone that is walking around, but he doesn't have a map, he doesn't have a GPS, and he just turns left and right, whatever he feels is the direction, of course he will be lost and he will be gone astray. Again, it links back to knowledge. So you have three categories, all linking to knowledge. The first category is the one who is guided to knowledge and he acts upon it. And these are the ones Allah loves and are the ones that Allah has favored. And then they are the second category, may Allah protect us. They are the ones who was given the knowledge and given guidance, but they turn away from it and they do contrary to it. These are the ones that incur the anger. And the last category are those who act without any knowledge. And so they are astray. May Allah protect us from this. And once again, it shows you the importance of knowledge. Lastly, to conclude, Surah Fatiha is a beautiful template in terms of how to make dua. And this month of Ramadan is a month really of dua, a month of how to turn to Allah. It is the month where we said in the verses of fasting, the ayah of dua, that if my servant asks me about me, I am near, I answer the duas. And so we should increase in dua, whatever we want from the dunya or the akhirah, whatever we need from big or small, this is the month to do it. And Surah Fatiha teaches you how to make dua. So if you want something, you know, maybe you want a job, you don't pick up, you don't raise your hand and say, I want the job, give me the job, I need the job, Ya Allah. That's not how we make dua. We begin by saying, first is Allah. Our focus is you first, Ya Allah. So we praise Him, Alhamdulillah. We establish His majesty. We call upon His names that are appropriate. So if you need rizq, Ya Razak. If you need love in your marriage, Ya Wadud, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. So you begin by praising Allah and you use the name of Allah that is appropriate for your need. And if you don't have a specific name that you are familiar with, then just Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient. Then you mention your servitude and your condition. Ya Allah, I depend on you. I need you. There is no one else besides you, Ya Allah. You mention, I am your slave, I'm turning to you. Who else can I turn to? And then you ask, Ya Allah, now that I have established, Allah is basically giving you a form how to fill out to get a request from Him. So now you say, Ya Allah, I need this, I need that, help me. And you begin by asking the important things for guidance, for forgiveness, for Jannah. The things of the Akhirah are more important than dunya. And then you ask the dunya things as well. And you make it very clear, I don't want to be of this. So as the Surah Fatiha, it tells you, Ya Allah, I want this, and don't let me be of these people. And then you mention, don't make me like this. And of course, like Surah Fatiha, every single day, we repeat it at least 17 times a day. So we repeat every dua you need, every dua. It's not might not be answered the first time, or it might be Allah wants us to ask many times before it is answered, and so repetition is key. And at the end of the dua, with Surah Fatiha in particular, and any dua, we say Ameen, which means oh Allah, accept our dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and grant us all that which we want of goodness in this dunya and the akhirah. Jazakallah khair, wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi sallam mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, assalamu alaikum.